I did a search. Probably many of you, or most of you, are familiar with Amazon.com on the internet. It is billed as the world's largest online bookstore. It's got way more than books, but some of you I know are not internet savvy or whatever and could care less, but if you want a book, they typically got it or know where to get it. And so it's where I pretty much get all my books from. They're typically cheaper, but and I don't get any commission from Amazon. I don't know why I said that, but I just they've got practically everything. And I did a search on the topic of leadership. And when I searched, I don't remember the exact word or phrase that I used, but when that search came back in the category of books, there was almost 80,000 links, 80,000 connections, references to the idea of leadership. It was just, you name it, there was that, there was something there in that category dealing with the idea of leadership. Practically every idea, and I didn't go through all of them, I don't know what all the connections were, but the word leadership just lit up when it came to searching. I know there's probably not a week goes by that I don't get an invitation to some type of leadership conference, something to teach you how to be a better leader, that I don't see something on television, that I don't get an email, that I don't see a new book, something on the topic of leadership. Those of you that are in the workplace, you have probably been sent to some kind of training, some type of seminar on how to make you a better leader, how to make you a better manager, whatever they might call it. It is just a blooming topic. I mean, there are all kinds of workshops, seminars, conferences on leadership and how to become a better leader. And it is just, we are bombarded with the idea of leadership. And we teach our children that. Be a leader. Don't be a follower. Be a leader. I mean, that's just, I don't know if that's worldwide, but it's certainly an American culture that we are leadership driven. We want to be in the lead. You don't believe it? Get out on the interstate, and as you go down, drive the interstate far enough to where you come across one of these places where it says the left lane ends, merge to your right. Nobody merges to their right. Everybody does what? They floor it to get in the very front of the line. We want to be in the lead. It's just something about our culture. In contrast to those 63,000 responses to the idea of leadership, there were, I turned around, and again, I don't remember the exact phrase, but I put in a phrase, something along the line, following, followers, something of that effect, and I got back about 2,000 responses to the idea of following. Nobody, I never get invited to a workshop. I never have an invitation. I never get an email about this is how to be a better follower. You just don't see that. It's just not something that is very popular. You just don't hear much about how to be a better follower. Martin, Tommy, y'all have businesses. You probably get a lot of phone calls, a lot of mail. Does anybody ever send you an invitation to a Be a Better Follower conference? But you get a lot of them on how to be a better manager, better leader, don't you? They come all the time. We don't care much about following, but here's the problem. If you think you're leading and nobody's following, you're just on a walk, and so we don't talk much about following. I think about one story I heard one time that is supposedly a true story, where a young lady had applied to a college, and she got a personal call from the registrar of the college accepting her and welcoming her to their college and encouraging her to accept their acceptance, that she would go ahead and enroll in their college. And she was a little bit puzzled by the call, by the registrar himself calling. She was a little bit confused because she knew her application. She knew that she hadn't put down on her application, that she hadn't been the president of anything. She hadn't been the chairman of anything. She hadn't been the leader of anything. She had been in some clubs and in some organizations, but she hadn't been first. She hadn't been the leader at anything. And so she asked the man, said, Well, I'm wondering why you called me personally. Why you're making this? My application isn't anything special. He said, yes, ma'am, it is. He said, we get a lot of applications from folks who are leaders of everything, but we don't often get an application from somebody that's a good follower. And we need some followers for all these leaders we're getting. And so following is just not something that we're very in tune with. And as I read the Word of God, I see that a lot of the Bible, and I don't know why it's doing it again, that the Bible is all about leaders and followers. That's what it is from cover to cover, if you get down to it. Countless stories are about leading and following. When you look, beginning in the Garden of Eden, what is that? That's a story of leading and following. God gives the leadership. He says, you can eat anything in this garden, you can eat anything here, but do not eat from this tree. And what does Eve do? She walks over, she looks at him, she says, well, I'm not going to follow him. I'm going to do what I want to do. And we go throughout the Bible, you have story after story of those who have the leadership of God, but decide in their heart, you know what? I'm not going to follow. You look at Jonah. What is that? A story of leading and following, or not following, if you will. God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah says, nah, don't think so. Think I'll go over here. God gives him leadership, but he refuses to follow. Most of us are fairly decent leaders. You know, you've never think about it, how we are. As children, we come with a what game? Follow the leader. I mean, it's just ingrained into who we are. But following is something that typically we're not real good at. We have to work on it. And so this morning, I want to look at a story. And again, there are numerous stories throughout the Word of God. And take just a moment. I know we've already kind of gotten late in the morning, but I want to take just a moment and point out to you three things that I think are important. We need to understand and we need to learn to be led. You know, following, you know, leading is something that most of us, you know, we come on, follow me. You take a little small child, and you hear a little small child say to his buddies, come on, follow me. You know, typically that's bad. It probably means they're headed for trouble, but, you know, at a small, come on, follow me. I can remember hearing the boys playing, and I won't call his name, but the oldest was saying, come on, follow me. And you knew that was going to be trouble. You know, Edie doesn't believe it because she thinks he walks on water. You hear a group of kids and one of them says, come on, follow me. You better go follow them because they're headed for no good. Leadership is typically something we don't have much problem with, but we need to learn to be led. Now, I'm not saying, be careful here, I'm not saying we don't need leaders. We need leaders in the church. We need leaders in the community. We need leaders in the nation. We need leaders. But we also need to learn to follow. We need to learn to follow the godly leaders that God gives us. We also need to learn to follow God, quite simply. We're not very good at following Him. We're great at following God when He leads us where we want to go to begin with. You know, when we read the 23rd Psalm and it says, He leads me beside green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You know, oh, isn't that lovely? Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. We'll follow any green pasture, the still water. We eat that up. But in that passage up there where it says, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I don't think I want to go there. Yeah. And so we're willing to follow Him wherever He leads that we want to go to begin with. But we have to learn to be led. The story we're going to look at in Exodus, you know, the story goes back even into the book of Genesis where Joseph's brothers have sold him into slavery, and he's been taken down to Egypt, and he's eventually risen to power. But a great famine hits the land, and Joseph's brothers end up having to come to him to buy grain. And eventually, they settle in Egypt. So the Jews now are living in Egypt. They begin to multiply, and there begin to be a great number of Jews, and to the point where the Egyptians get scared. They begin to think that the Israelites will take over, that they're going to end up
overruling them and outnumbering them and taking over Egypt. And so they began to persecute them. They began to put them into slavery. They began to put them into bondage to try to keep them under wraps, keep them under control. And over time, that bondage, that persecution become so great, become so harsh, the people cry out and they continue to moan to the point where God hears their affliction. And He sends Moses back to Egypt to bring the Israelites out of their bondage. And as they come out of that bondage, they're coming out and they're being led by Moses, who is their leader. And they get out to the point where after the plagues and everything, Pharaoh says, take them and get out. And the Israelites have now left Egypt. But they get to a point and they're marching along and they're rejoicing and they're dancing and they're high-fiving and all that stuff. And they get to the point where all of a sudden they hear a rumble. And they what is that? And they look back and they see a cloud of dust and they realize that the Egyptian army is chasing them. Pharaoh has changed his mind. And the Egyptian army is chasing them. And I'm sure that somebody in the crowd yelled, run! Just a guess. It's not in the Bible. Just a guess. Well, they decide to run, but they turn around and staring them in the face is the Red Sea. Staring them coming up quickly behind is the Egyptian army. They are trapped. They are stuck there with the Red Sea, literally between the devil and the Red Sea. And so they're standing there, what do we do? And they're in this bind, in this situation here, not knowing which way to go. And so what do? They do what they should. They look to Moses, and they turn to Moses. And in this story, I think there are three things that are very important that we have to remember if we're going to learn to be led by God, if we're going to allow God to lead us. And the first one is very simple. It's an acknowledgement. It's a realization that just, I think, has to be there. And that first step is, I think the first thing is, we have to learn there's a normal resistance to leadership. It's just normal. It's just part of who we are. It's just part of how we're typically made up. Maybe not everyone, but the majority of people, when you try to say, come on, follow me, most of us are going to say, where are we going? It's just, we just kind of rebel against leadership. Somebody says, come on, follow me. To where? How long? How much? We just kind of rebel against leadership. You're in the workplace, and all of a sudden a new policy comes down. And the company is adopting a new rule, a new policy. And what happens? Everybody gets together and looks at that policy, and they read over that policy, and they get together in their little groups and say, who do these people think they are? They mess up everything. I'm not going to follow that. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they fire me. We just resist leadership. Again, throughout the Bible, look in this story. Bible says Moses turns to him and says, don't worry. Well, what happens? The Israelites, they come to Moses and say, look, isn't this what we told you? Didn't we tell you to leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians? Let me ask you a question. Anybody know what the problem with that statement is? Is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Anybody know what the problem with that that sentence is? It's not what they said. It's nothing like what they said. They didn't say anything. In fact, Moses said, if you read the story, after that final plague of the death of the firstborn, Moses said, gather up your junk. In fact, gather up some of their junk. And let's go. You know what they did? They gathered up their junk, some of the Egyptians' junk, and they left. Nobody said, we don't want to go. You know why? Because they were being led where they wanted to go to begin with. But when things got difficult, things turned out the way they hadn't anticipated, the way they hadn't planned, all of a sudden they did what? They rebelled against their leader. That's the way we operate. It is normal resistance. It is normal to resist leadership. Some of you in here, most of you, in fact, are probably old enough to remember. You don't see them very often anymore. But used to, you'd see them all the time when they were working on the road. You remember pilot cars? You remember, basically all you see now is the slow stop signs. Usually there were pilot cars. You remember them? Be a truck, you know, to have a sign on the back that says, pilot car, follow me. You know, I came across one of those not too long ago. In fact, first one I'd seen in years. Tell you where I was. I was out on West A Street in Kannapolis. Now, I don't know how many of you know where West A Street is. It's a two-lane road that goes nowhere. It goes from Kannapolis to Landis. That's where it goes. That's just all it does. Not much to it. Not a super highway. You know, pretty hard to get lost. It's only about that wide. I mean, just not much of a road. Yeah, and I was out near the West A Church of God, and I was traveling along there, and lo and behold, I come up on them working on the road, and I'm sitting there wondering, why can't I go? You know, I don't see nothing. I want to go. I know where I am. It's a straight road. What's the big deal? And all of a sudden, here I look up, and here comes a line of cars behind the vehicle, and he goes down his truck, comes down, turns around, comes back around in front of me, and listen, I'm being honest this morning. Y'all can sit there and look holy. I'm going to tell you what I thought. He came around me and got up in front of me. I happened to be the first car in line, being the leader. You know, had to be the first car. And there he was. He got up in front of me. And on the back of that car, he had a sign that said, pilot car, follow me. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest. Y'all can sit and say whatever you want to. You know, I'm going to be honest. That just run up and down my spine. I don't need no pilot car to drive up and down West A Street. Stevie Wonder couldn't get lost on West A Street. I don't need a pilot car. I know where I got here. Surely I can get the rest of the way. Yeah, I didn't want to follow. I want him to get out of my way and let me go. I didn't want to follow him. I wanted to drive my car where I wanted to drive my car. I didn't need a pilot car. I got enough sense. Listen, I'm not like that guy on the racetrack the other day. I know not to hit them people over there working. Just get out of the way. Let me drive. We don't like to follow. Let's just be honest. We don't like to follow. God says go over there and witness. God says go over here and do that. We say, well, wait a minute, God, I got better plans. We don't like to follow, whether it's our boss, whether it's our spouse. We don't like to follow. It's just not in us. You know, we just don't. You know, if somebody says, come on, follow me, I know where the ice cream's here, then we might be alone. But typically, we don't like to follow. We're the same way with God. These Israelites didn't mind following God out of Egypt, but they got to the place where it wasn't the way God, where they had the way they had planned it out. And they didn't want to follow anymore. I think the first step in learning to be led is to understand and to recognize that we don't like to be led. That it's something we're going to have to deal with. That I'm going to have to understand that it's part of my nature to bow up and to want to do things my way. It's part of your nature. I know I'm the one talking and I'm the one arguing about the pilot car, but I know most of you well enough to know you're pretty hard to lead. I've been trying to lead you for 17 years. Listen, you can sit there and look holy if you want to. I know about how some of you follow leadership. We bow up in its face. We don't like leadership. Leadership, as long as it's leading us where we want to go. And that's not really leadership to begin with. That's just along together for a walk. Leadership. First thing we've got to understand, learn to be led, is to understand that about ourselves. Just to be honest, I don't like leadership. I don't like to be led. You go through the Bible, there are thousands of characters, one after the other, who show us that we don't like to be led, even by God. Look at them. The disciples. Jesus says, let's go to Bethany. Thomas says, wait a minute. You sure that's the best idea? I don't know if that's a good idea, Jesus. Over and over again, we have examples in the Bible that show us we don't even like to be led by God. We're just that Old Testament word, stiff-necked. We like to be independent. We're American. We're free. Let's just face it. We don't like leadership, typically. First step in learning to be led is acknowledge the fact, listen, I know I am a stiff-necked person who resist leadership. Let me show you the second thing you need to understand about being led. Very important. Not only there's a natural resistance, but when there is resistance, a particularly to God, there's a necessary redirection. Moses says to the Israelites, stand still. Now, Moses obviously is a very politically correct man. Because let me interpret stand still for you. Close your mouth, open your eyes. Hush. Stand still and see the salvation of God that He's going to show you. And we know the story. The Bible says that God, the Red Sea was divided and the children of Israel marched across on dry land. You know what? You know what this is? This is God reaching down and taking all the Israelites collectively and going, smacking them in the back of the head, saying, look here, follow me. I know you don't like it. Listen, I remember years ago a fellow telling me that his mama's motto was, if you can't listen, you got to feel. Anybody know how that mama? You know, if you can't listen, you got to feel. Listen, in our life, in the Bible, we learn, we see again, example after example, if you don't listen, you got to feel. Because when we resist the leadership of God, what happens is God comes along. Look at Jonah. Jonah says, I'm not following God to Nineveh. You know the story. He says, I'm going to Tarshish. God says, fine. Take your best shot at it, big boy. And so he goes and gets him a ship. What happens? They toss him overboard, and the great fish swallows him up, and he spends 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. You know where he ended up? Nineveh, where God wanted him to start with. Eve says, I know what God said. I know He said, don't eat off of this tree. I'm going to do it anyway. What's God do? Look here. Here's what's going to happen. You're getting kicked out of the garden. You're going to listen. Typically what happens for us to follow leadership, whether it's man-made or God-given, is typically what happens because we resist it so great, is somewhere along the way, somebody has to come along and pop us in the back of the head. Anybody ever been popped in the back of the head because you wouldn't listen to God? More than once? Several times? I got my people. Listen. Learning to be led, we resist. When we resist, God says, fine. You know, did y'all see the story on the news this morning? There was a young man, I forgot where he was now, got caught stealing an iPod at school. And his mama had him standing out front of the yard holding a sign. I think he was 13, 14 years old. His mama had him standing out front of the yard, we're holding a sign out beside the road that says, I am a thief. Said this wasn't the first time he had done it. She had took everything he owned, took his games, took his albums, took his music, took his toys, took everything he had. He did it again. She says, so this is next. And there was people being critical. And one guy, one of the guys on the newscast said, give her credit for trying. You may not like it, but she's trying. You know what he was getting? The back of the head. Little redirection. Listen, God has to come along sometimes and redirect us. That's sometimes how we learn to be led. But I want to show you a third thing real quickly, and hopefully I can convince you to learn to be led by God. Look what happens. We know this. There are numerous rewards when we follow the leadership of God. You know what? You can't listen. You got to. We all know that. We all know that when you ignore the leadership of God, God is not going to sit idly by. You know, I see it all the time. You do too. Yeah, it just works my good nerve. I ain't got many good nerves left. I got four kids. Works my good nerve. You'll be out in public, be at the store, and there'll be some kid just acting a fool. I mean, that's just the only way I know to describe it. And his mom and dad will be standing there going, ain't he cute? Just smiling at him. And I'm just like, you want me to beat him for you? Can I hold him while you beat him? Can I beat him while you hold him? Can I hold him and beat him? You know, what's the issue here? What's the problem? He throws himself down the floor and spinning, doing breakdancing stuff in the floor. And mama just standing there. I want to hit them both. What kills me is to see them throwing them stupid fits. And the mama say, get up and I'll get you a piece of candy. Get up or you ain't going to have no teeth to eat your candy. Let's go. Listen, mine know better. Mine know that I'm able to lay down on the floor and embarrass them. What goes around comes around. Listen, we know in a good, right world, there are rewards for doing what's right. There's for doing what's not right. Listen, when we look at the story of the Israelites, when they come along and they do follow God through the Red Sea, what happens? There are numerous rewards. For one thing, they're saved. For one thing, one of the greatest miracles, they walk across on dry land. Everybody makes a big deal out of the water dividing. I want to tell you something. The big deal to me is not so much the water dividing, but that the land was dry when it was divided. See, I grew up playing around the lake, and every summer, the water would go down. And I can tell you, months after the water went down, we'd go out there and do like this, and you'd be down to your knees in mud in no time. Overnight, these folks are walking across, seeing people behind them going, would y'all quit dragging your feet? You're stirring up dust. They get to the other side, another reward. They look back. Moses says, watch this. And the Egyptian army starts in after them. They go, oh no, they're coming. And the water comes in and drowns all the Egyptians. Just in case some of you are wondering, if you're wondering how it really happened, you've heard people say God didn't divide the Red Sea. They went up to the north end and walked across on the shallow end. You explain to me how God drowned all them Egyptians in 3 inches of water. They get over to the other side. And God rewards them repeatedly throughout this story. Something happened in the life of the Israelites that you and I are discussing 6,000 years later. There are a lot of rewards for following God. And I promise you, there's a lot of in the back of the head when you don't. God is not going to allow His people to continually disobey His leadership. I want to give you one last picture, story about following leadership. This belongs to David and Kristen. He is not the sharpest knife in the drawer. David was telling me the other day about trying to walk it. And as I was praying this message, this picture, this illustration, this thought just came to my mind. David says when you take this dog out on a leash and try to walk him, I guess it's not just humans, but it's dumb dogs too. We don't like to be led. David says when you try to walk this dog, he wants to get out ahead of you and he wants to drag you along. And he says he'll drag so hard that his front legs will get up off the ground. That the leash is holding him back by the neck, and he's still digging with them back legs, and his front legs is just digging. And said he'll do that so long that eventually the collar will choke him out. And he'll settle down and he'll walk for a while. And I thought, what a great picture of how God has to lead us half the time. We want to just get out and run, and he about has to choke us out to get us to settle down and follow. Now, I don't remember if David told me the rest of this story, but I'm just guessing based on my knowledge of this animal that after he chokes himself out and he finally learns to walk, that as soon as he catches his breath, he does it again. Now, Rhonda calls that her granddog. I say, ain't nothing that dumb being my granddog or grand nothing. But isn't that a lot the way we follow God? We'll drag along and try to do it our way till we get choked out and realize nothing else will work. And we come back and we walk with Him for a little bit. And then we'll get a little mouthy, we'll get a little arrogant and take off again. Till we choke ourselves out, and then we're back to following Him again. I've watched David. David's actually taught the old David and Kristen. They've taught the old boy several tricks. He can roll over. He can sit. Can't walk on a leash, but they've taught him several tricks. Taught him yesterday how to escape from his cage.
While we were gone, he chewed it. He's at our house, and while we were gone, he chewed a hole in it. Smart dog. Didn't unzip it, just chewed a hole in it. And I've watched David. You know how David taught him those tricks? When he does a trick, he gets a treat. There's rewards for following the leader. Some of you sitting here this morning, God's been speaking to you. He's been dealing with your heart and telling you, you know what, there's some things in your life you need to change. You need to do differently. But you're resisting. Here's what you better be aware of. You can keep resisting, but sooner or later, God's going to come along in the back of the head. If you're a Christian here this morning, if you're a child of God and you keep resisting God, He's not going to tolerate it forever. He's not going to continue to allow you to resist His leadership. He didn't do it for Jonah. He didn't do it for the Israelites. He's not going to do it for you. You can choose the redirection, or you can choose the rewards of following Him. I don't know what it is. I don't know why in the world. I'm going to tell you, this doesn't happen very often. Carol will tell you how early I got her this outline this week. I left here last Sunday knowing what I was going to preach today. It doesn't happen very often. Very seldom. I knew what God... Don't know why. I didn't know who was going to be here. God put us together in this order for some reason. You're resisting the leadership of God. God is speaking to you. God's told you you need to teach a class. You need to witness to a neighbor. You need to answer His call. I don't know. Maybe He's telling you to go to the mission field. I don't know. But I know the danger of resisting the leadership of God. Most importantly, you may be sitting here this morning. God's been dealing with your heart. He's been leading you and telling you that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't resist that leadership. Because you may open your eyes one day in hell and not have another opportunity. This morning, when you follow the leadership of God, stop resisting. As our musicians come, don't wait till God chokes you out. Don't be like the dog. Don't wait till you get choked out and don't have a choice but to follow. God's leading you today. What will you do? As we